Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Just a few announcements. I will be at the Women's Conference on Sunday the 20th. So those of you who are going, great. You know, I'm actually, Lord has blessed
us.
I'll be doing the Women's Retreat. Yeah, and actually I'll have a breakout session this time. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be here next Sunday. We won't be here the following Sunday the 20th, unless Rita, we can talk if you want to do something that way. You think
if they want to come or if they want to break, it doesn't
matter. Okay. You know, Rita's my substitute teacher, so I'm switching that over. We're going to have Rita do the class on Sunday the 20th, okay? But I won't be here Sunday the 20th, but we'll have class Sunday the 20th. And Rita will present us with, I'm sure, always a wonderful lesson as someone that's very well versed in prayer. And, well, we're always talking about prayer, and you always have something good for us. So as we continue on, let's open in prayer. You have a question?
Dr. Karen, I wanted to tell you that I was not going to go to the Living Retreat this year. Really. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then I saw what you were speaking about. I take care of both my mom as well as my husband.
Uh-huh.
And there are days when I look at it and go,
yeah.
And Marty and I always go together. Mm-hmm. And she was reading it at about the same time. And we both said, we're going into
Praise God. I'd love, yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I'm excited about sharing, you know, and... You know, God always takes whatever we're going through and turns it into a testimony. So praise God for that. And so we'll love to see you guys there at the Women's Retreat this year. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Your word is truth. And your word is life, Lord God. So we pray that the life-giving of the Holy Ghost would come and bless us, Lord God, as we learn about your word, Lord. And we pray that we will take it in and we'll digest it and it'll become a part of who we are, Lord. We don't come to just have our ears tickled. Oh, God, we come, Lord, that we may grow closer and closer to thee, Lord God. So we pray, Lord, for this class. We pray for all the classes in this house of God. Oh, Lord, we pray for all the Sunday schools, all the teaching, all the preaching going on, Lord God, this Sunday morning, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So handouts for in the back for we're on still in session six. We're finishing up session six. I see some new faces. My friend Christina is here. And then there's a second handout that you want to get on the back for today, and it's Exodus 32, the intercession of Moses. So if you didn't pick up that handout, that's on the back too. And I've started just putting some of the extra handouts I've had back there. If you want to take some of those extra handouts, please feel free to take them as they're kind of, you know, I just want, whatever you want to do with them, just take it. If you want an extra one for a friend, please feel free to have those. So we have been talking... What's that? Oh, somebody was saying, give me flowers today. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. So today we are continuing in session six, which is the types of prayers. And as you recall, in the beginning of the lesson, they were talking about the acronym that they use to remember the types of prayers. And the acronym was ACTS, or A-C-T-S. Which stood for adoration. C stands for, who knows, confession. And T stands for thanksgiving. And today we're going to do supplication, Lord. And I tell you, we talked about how when it comes to types of prayer, you can flow from one type to the other type, you know, as much as you want. You know, there's no rules of prayer except for the sincerity of the heart, folks. That's all God is looking for. That's what the Lord wants. He wants your heart. He wants sincerity of the heart so we can flow from adoration to confession to thanksgiving to supplication without missing a beat. So, and he wants us to bring it all to him. So today, this is the final part of this section, and we're going to be talking about supplication. And I tell you guys, this has become... One of my favorite parts of prayer is supplication and what supplication is all about. So as you look in your lesson, under the heading of supplication, the last section of this, the top of your lesson says, supplication is asking for something from God. Okay, it's asking for something from God. It means to beseech, to petition or appeal for him to do or provide something for yourself or others. And our key scripture on that is Ephesians 6:18. Supplication has an intensity and sincerity component from the one who is praying. You know, so I want to say that again. Supplication is a little different because supplication has an intensity about it when you're talking about you're supplicating before the Lord, and an intense sincerity component from the one praying. Among the four types of prayer, there is biblical wisdom in listing supplication last. Because all these other types of prayers are good, but when it comes to supplication, there is an intensity that comes along with that. Our hearts are more pure and ready to pray in faith when we have adored God, we've confessed our sins, we've thanked them for what he's done and for what he's going to do, and now we're ready for supplication to really get intense before God. Have you ever even beseeched or supplicated before the Lord for yourself? You know, not for other people, but have you ever beseeched or supplicated before God for yourself? Not asking for any item, but asking just to draw nearer to him. Have you ever supplicated for God just to come nearer or to love him better or to serve him better? You know, you're not supplicating for anybody. Have you ever supplicated for yourself? Lord, I know I've got a ways to go, but Father, Lord, will you help me draw nearer this year? Would you help me draw nearer to you? Nothing's wrong. When you do this, it's like nothing's wrong. You're not requesting anything. Lord, I just want to get closer to you. You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about supplicating. When you're at a place in your relationship with Christ, when you're supplicating to come close to him, you have reached a higher level in your Christianity. When you're just supplicating, Lord, I don't want anything. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to draw near. I just want to understand you better. I want to serve you better. I want to love you better. That's when we're talking about supplication for ourselves. And I think it's important that you do supplicate for yourself, because sometimes when we think about supplicating, we think about we have a need and somebody else has a problem and we just want to get on our face and we want to supplicate before God. And yes, you do that as well. We're going to talk about intercession in just a minute, but I want you to really get this part about supplicating for yourself before God and about your relationship with him. So as we go into this next section, we talk about intercession. Intercession is intervening prayer on behalf of someone else. Interceding is one of the most loving things you can do for others, and that's from our book. And I think that's so true. Interceding is one of the most loving things you can do for others. Intercession is an important type of supplication. Many lives and souls have been saved because of intercessory prayer. Don't you doubt it. Many people have come to Christ because somebody interceded for you. I've heard people say it over and over again. I thank God for mama's prayers. I thank God for daddy's prayers because I should have been dead. This should have happened. It happened to my friend, but I was spared, you know, and they know that this is something in their knower that they know it was because of mama's prayers or daddy's prayers. And then they came to the Lord. Many souls have been saved because of intercessory prayer. Moses interceded for his people. Esther interceded for her nation. Yes. And the greatest example of all, Jesus Christ intercedes before God for you and I and the whole world. Interceding. Going before. Going. When we look at Moses, it's when you intercede or when you intercede on any's behalf, you're going before God, standing on before God on behalf of someone else. And although Moses saw himself not in danger of annihilation, because Moses, remember, was following what God wanted him to do. It was the children of Israel. It was that nation he was leading that was acting up. So when you're interceding, you're coming in between God the wrath of God and somebody else. And that's what Moses did. He stood between God and somebody else, even though he himself was not in danger. Because God was going to kill those children of Israel. They got this golden calf going, you know, and they're doing this, they're doing that. I'm going to kill them. You know, that's why we had to just go and explore Exodus 32, to just really explore intercession. And how do you know? You know, I'm telling you, when I'm happy when people pray for me, because sometimes we don't even know we're in danger of annihilation. I don't think the children of Israel knew they were in danger of being annihilated that day when Moses intervened for them. So we pray vehemently or passionately before God for someone else and for mercy on their lives, for salvation to come. You guys know what I'm talking about, how you're praying vehemently. Sometimes we pray that for our children. Mercy, God, I know they were raised in the church. I know, Lord, that they know the way, but Lord, they're not serving you. But Lord, have mercy. Give them grace, Lord God. Are you ready to make sacrifices for them? You know, because it takes sacrifice to be an intercessor. You have to sacrifice your time, and you've got to be able to stand before God for somebody else. So as we look at your handout, Exodus 32, I just want to read some of these verses in Exodus 32. And this is Exodus 32, verses 9 through 14. And it says, I believe this is the New Living Translation. And it says, "Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them, and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, a great nation." Boy, can you imagine being in that kind of position? Leave me alone. Don't even say anything. You know, God was saying, don't even say it. I'm just going to take him out. I'm just going to take him out. And Lord, you know, he's done it before. Noah, just go back to Noah's day. He's done it before. So this was a point where God's anger was really kindled against the children of Israel after all he had done for them. They had the audacity to be in the wilderness, making a golden calf. And then verse 11 says, "But Moses tried to pacify the Lord." You know, I just think about Moses, an incredible leader he was, because how many of us would have taken God up on his offer? How many of us? Because remember what God said. God has said, "Then I will make you a great nation. Forget them. Let me take them out of existence, and I will make you a great nation." Oh, but Moses, I mean, I thought he was just such an incredible leader, you know, and I wonder, was this a test for Moses as to his commitment to his people? You know, because God was like, "I will spare you and I will make you great, but I'm taking these people out." And then it says, "But Moses tried to pacify the Lord, his God. He said, Oh Lord," he said, "why are you so angry with your own people?" I love that. They're your people. Yeah. They're your children. You know, he's getting that connection. Yeah. "Whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such a great power and such a strong hand. Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them in the evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth?" Oh, he was arguing with God on this one. Oh, what are people going to say? What are the Egyptians going to say? I mean, you brought them out of Egypt with this mighty hand, and then they find out that you slaughtered them in the wilderness? Oh, how is that going to look? You know, can you see him pleading? You know, and I know God knew all of this, but I believe it was like a test for Moses as his heart for the people, and he's arguing with God. And he said, "Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people," and he kept saying, "your people, your child, Lord. Remember your servant Abraham." Even went back in history. Remember their great, 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 great grandfather, Abraham. Remember Isaac. Remember Jacob. Remember how faithful they were? These are their children. The people that were faithful to you, these are for their sake. For their sake, spare them. "You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven." Oh, God, you made a promise. You made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, so you can't break it now. I mean, you made a promise. This is intercession, guys. He's interceding. He's coming. He's bringing. He's reminding God of his word. Lord, I'm reminding you of your promises. Lord, I'm reminding you how lovely and how wonderful you are. I'm reminding you of all that you've done already for these people. I'm reminding you that people are watching, Lord, and we want you to be glorified in these people, Lord. So please, Lord, give them more time. Be merciful to them. Give them another chance, Lord. Give them, oh God, give them more grace. You know, that's intercession. And he goes on to say, and I will give them all of this land that I've promised you to your descendants, and I will possess it forever. Lord, you made these promises to these people. Oh, Lord, you got to turn from your anger. And then verse 14 says, so the Lord changed his mind.
I was going to say, this is the time he only changed his mind.
About the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. But I think, but you know, when I look at it, I said, God already knew it all. He knew what he had promised, you know, but I think it was a test maybe for Moses, for his heart as a leader. So just keep that in mind. You know, God wants us to intercede. Christ is interceding for us. God already knew the whole plan. He's the Alpha and Omega. He already seen the end of planet Earth. He already knew from the beginning what was going to happen. So I believe he tests his leaders and he tests his people to see, do you have a heart to love like I love? To have the mercy that I have. Moses is showing a great mercy, pleading for mercy, pleading for grace, reminding God of his promises. When you're interceding for somebody, that's what you're doing. Lord, I just remind you, Lord, you said you would save me and my household, Lord God. This is my household, Lord God. And I'm praying for your grace and I'm praying for your mercy. Lord, I just believe you. I believe your word, Lord God. Bring them, Lord God, as you have promised, Lord. And I'm just pleading. And let me just make this clear, because I've seen people do this. When you are interceding, you never get arrogant with God. You know, I've heard people say, I remind you of your word. Be careful with your attitude. It's always an attitude of humility. Lord, I remind you. I just want to remind you, you promised you would do it, Lord. And I believe your promises, Lord. You always come with humility, even as you're interceding, even as you're reminding God of your word. You always come with humility before him as you're talking to him.
Yeah, it was funny when Moses said that, because he reminded God, well, God, if you destroy them, who are you going to use?
Yeah, who are you going to use? Well, he said, Moses, I'll raise up somebody through you, you know? And as I said, how many of us would have taken God up on that offer? Okay, let's start again. I'm tired of them too. But Moses pleaded and pleaded. He interceded for the people. Verses 30. When you're in your on your handout, verses 30 through 35 in this same chapter, Exodus 32, it says, the next day Moses said to the people, you have committed a terrible sin, but I will go back up to the Lord on the mountain. Perhaps I will be able to obtain forgiveness for your sin. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, what a terrible sin these people have committed. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now if you will only forgive their sin. But if not, erase my name from the record you have written. Can you imagine? If you're going to erase them, God, erase me too. Take me with them. Take. Oh, man. Can you? I mean, I was just so moved. And I know, and as I said, I believe it was just like a test for Moses. So Moses could understand the love God had for us. You know, he gave his son. He let his son die for us. And Moses is saying the same thing. Just erase me too. Erase me too. If you're going to erase them, yes, they messed up. Yes, God, I'm not even covering up for their sin. They messed up. But Lord, if you're going to erase them, erase me too. Take me with them. Oh, how many of us would say that? How many? So you see the depth of intercession when you're willing to stand before God for somebody else to the point of making a sacrifice of yourself. Lord, show me what to do. Lord, I will do it. I will go. What do we need to do to win them, Lord God? What do I need to sacrifice to win them? Lord, I will get out of the way, Lord God, so you can do your work and win them. You know, and sometimes it's interceding and letting somebody else even be blessed. When you were next in line to be blessed, but you let them be blessed because I know that will win them. You know, I'm talking about making true, real sacrifices for other people so that they come to Christ. And you know what it is. You know when you're in that moment where you need to make that sacrifice. And when God, you know, you feel it in your heart, you need to step back right now and let them shine.
Amen.
Because I'm bringing them to me, but I need you who have interceded for them. Now here they come. I need you to make the sacrifice so that they will be blessed. Verse 33 says, but the Lord replied to Moses, no, I will erase the name of everyone who has sinned against me. Now go, lead the people to the place I told you about. Look, my angel will lead the way before you. And when I come to call the people to account, I will certainly hold them responsible for their sins. Then the Lord, and this is what happened, verse 35, the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshiped the calf Aaron made. I read further, it didn't say if anybody died with the plague. It just says they got sick.
Mm-hmm.
A sickness came upon them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, often, actually every time, there's always a consequence for sin.
Yeah.
But I think it was God's mercy. Mm-hmm. It was God's mercy that the entire nation was not wiped out. Yeah, some of them did die because some of them held to their sin. You know, and sometimes there comes a point where you're interceding, but they are holding to their sin. You know, you can't violate anyone's free will. God doesn't even violate free will of a person. You can intercede and you can plead, but there comes a point where, yeah, God's judgment will be carried out as it was in this instance. But he did not destroy the entire nation. The nation survived, you know, because Moses intervened and he interceded for the people. So again, folks, it just comes back to, how much sacrifice are we willing to make to intercede and to supplicate on behalf of others? To get on our face, you know, and we got to get past so many things. I'm starting to get ahead on the lesson. So let's talk about Jesus and his intercession for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice as he interceded for the whole world. And as you look in your lesson, Romans 8:34, it says, who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty. More than that, who was raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of God, interceding with the Father for us. Wow. Right now, he's interceding for you, okay? He's interceding for you and me. How many times has Jesus reminded the Father of his shed blood for you and for me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, I mean, I guess if I went through my lifetime, I would lose count at how many times, as I look back, the times I messed up, that Jesus had to intercede for the Father on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But I shed my blood for her, but she's gonna make it, she's gonna be all right. Father, remember, I shed my blood, he's interceding. He asked the Father to give you another chance, one more time to get it right. Can you hear in your heart what he must be saying before the Father to intercede for you and your loved ones? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? And I'm like, what would Jesus say? He saw it all. The Father saw it all. He must be saying, yeah, they did do that. Yes, but I'm bringing them along. Yes, I'm touching their heart. Yet they prayed this morning, Father. They talked to us this morning. So their heart is still open to us. You know, so we'll keep working. Remember, I shed my blood for them. So he continues interceding for us and our loved ones on behalf of the Father. The next one of your lesson says, intercession belays or holds back judgment and even consequences to those that deserve it. Oh, wow, isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
It belays or holds back judgments and even consequences to those that deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we pray for the lost. Moses interceded for Israel when they deserved judgment. He recounts the episode in Deuteronomy chapter 9. It talks about it again. And in your lesson, it's listed here. And it says, and the Lord said to me, I have seen this people. They are stiff-necked people indeed. Let me alone so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from heaven, and I will make you a nation stronger and more numerous than they. Then once again, Moses saying, I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. 40 days and 40 nights. He's remembering his intercession. I ate no bread and drank no water. Wow, that had to be supernatural that he drank no water because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so arousing his anger. I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again, the Lord listened to me. Wow. And that's Deuteronomy 9, 13 and 18 through 19 in the NIV. Wow. Again, you see the heart of Moses to fast 40 days and 40 nights on your face before God to spare a people. That's intercession, folks. And that's what we're talking about. What are you willing to sacrifice? To intercede for someone, to come in between them, to give up things so that they are interceded, so that we are interceding on their behalf. How long does the Lord delay his return, I think, because of the intercession of praying people? You know, I know we look at, oh, why hasn't Jesus come yet? The world, all the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled. And look at all the tragedy and all the heartache in the world. Why hasn't Jesus come? Why hasn't Jesus come? I believe it's because of interceding. People are interceding. Lord, maybe one more might get saved, Lord. One more. One more. Oh, Lord, I just have that loved one. Lord, just Lord, I'm interceding. Lord, please, let intercede. I'm interceding for them, and I believe the reason why even Jesus interceding on behalf of the world before his father may say, okay, it's time, let's do this, let's call it. You know, they're doing all kind of wickedness all over the place, let's call it. And Jesus said, but wait, Father, there's one more, there might be one more that might come. He intercedes on behalf of the whole world, the scripture says. So if you wonder why he hasn't come, and you don't wonder why the prophecies have been fulfilled, doesn't come. My belief is that he's interceding for us, for the ones that may come. You know, yes, we're in. We have accepted him, but there are so many out there. But you know, and I think he just is waiting. He continues to intercede for the whole world, but the day will come. Hallelujah. Because all the prophecy will be fulfilled, and him returning is part of that too. The day will come, according to the word of God, when he will judge the living and the dead. Yeah. That day will come, folks. And again, that's why we intercede all the more, because that day will come. In your lesson, looking at Romans 8, 27, intercession for believers is motivated by the Holy Spirit. It is the will of God that we intercede for our brothers and sisters as they are targeted by the enemy. This is why we are awakened in the night to pray for people, prompted at other times to pray. The Holy Spirit is at work interceding. And this is what the scripture says. He says, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with the will of God. Romans 8, 27. There's so much in this verse right here, because it's saying the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And that's why when you pray, you want to pray according to the Spirit, and you want to pray in the Spirit. You want to ask the Holy Spirit, help me pray, because the Spirit knows how to pray. And the Spirit is going to pray according to the will and the knowledge of God. You know, sometimes you're praying for people, you don't know what's going on, but I just feel led to pray for this person. I just feel led to pray. Let's pray right now for this person. God knows what's going on, so he's prompting you to pray. And you think, well, why doesn't God just intervene? Because we are a part of this process, folks. It makes, there's something about us being a part of the process of intercession and prayer. It builds our relationship and our intimacy with God and our intimacy with each other when we're interceding for each other. And what it's just like this triangle with God and our us and other people. And it's just like this communion that we have, and he wants us to be a part of it. Yes, he sees it. Yes, he knows. He knows what needs to be done, but he wants us to intercede. By his Spirit, invite my Holy Spirit to come in you and intercede on behalf of others. And then expect the change. That's one piece that we've got to get back to, expecting it. You know, I pray for people. The next time I look at them, I'm looking for something. Like, you know, I've learned to look. Like I've prayed. I'm expecting your attitude to be different. And oh my God, how many times? Just this week, I saw some stuff. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I saw something, you know, and you just start praying and interceding. You watch people's attitude just change. You know, because you interceded and get those demons that are tormenting them and those spirits that want to torment people off of them. You know, they don't even know how to pray. So many people don't know how to pray. And unbelievers, they don't know how to pray. That's why you intercede, Lord. They know not what they do, as Jesus said. They know. They don't even know. They don't even know what's prompting them. They don't know what's moving them, what's motivating them to do what they do. But Lord, we pray, rebuke the demons and the devils that torment them in the name of Jesus. Oh, bring clarity to their mind, Lord. Draw them to you, Lord. Let them see the light. Let them see the light. Let them see the light. There's so many examples. I'm just thinking about the cross and how Jesus was on the cross and all the things that they said happened when he was on the cross. You know, the soldier that pierced him in the side and blood and water flowed. And they talked about the miracle of that, how, you know, something happened with his vision and stuff like that. And all the things that they saw, the unbelievers, the Romans saw, you know. As they were taking Jesus to crucifixion, how they had the fight in the garden. Peter picked up a sword and cut off the guard's ear, and Jesus healed him. You know, again, just them seeing how he was and how true he was, and how at that point the Romans, you know, it's written in the book of Acts, the Romans started turning to Christ. Oh, folks, intercession. He lived a life of intercession. You know, when you think about what he did with that soldier, he was interceding. These people are coming to arrest you and to crucify you, but I'm still interceding for them. You know, letting them see who I am so that they can come to Christ. And folks, the scripture says, let the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We got to put away our petty differences and our petty attitudes and our, you know, our reasons for being mad. It doesn't even matter in light of eternity. Live a life of intercession, that you're standing in the gap for somebody. They don't know and they're being hateful and they're being mean, but you're showing them the love of Jesus Christ. You're interceding for them on behalf of their salvation. So you want to intercede, and the Spirit will help you. God wants us to stand in the gap or intercede for each other because it builds love within us for them. It makes us partners with God in Christ in loving the world. That's why we intercede. It makes us partners with Christ in loving the world, for God so loved the world. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christina. That's it. Absolutely. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Oh, man. You need to read that again sometime and just see the power in John 3:16, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Oh, we don't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but wants him to have everlasting life. Your life, your lesson says, Christ is the Alpha and Omega, knowing what is coming for someone, and will move those who have the Spirit in their hearts to pray. We pray that they overcome the battles ahead. I tell you, this is a good point right here. Christ is the Alpha and Omega. He knows what's coming for everybody. He knows the battles that are coming for us, coming for you as an individual, coming for us corporately, and that's why he says intercede. Intercede, you need to pray now. You need to pray now. You need to pray now. You need to intercede now so that you're ready when the battle's coming, because the battle's coming. As long as you're on planet Earth, you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But you will overcome as you are interceding and praying and coming between people and death, premature death, people and all the other things that can happen to them. That's why we pray. He'll prompt us to pray because he knows what's coming. Don't allow anybody to face a battle alone. oh, folks, let it not be said amongst us as believers that we let people face battles alone, whether they're believers or unbelievers. Don't let them face it alone. Be interceding for them. Be interceding for them to bring them to Jesus Christ. Be praying for them that they will come to Jesus Christ. Don't just sit there and say, wow, I can't believe that happened. Boy, isn't that a shame? Isn't that too bad? Oh, boy, did you hear what happened to Elizabeth? Did you hear what happened? Blah, 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 blah. And they're out there alone. You won't even intercede and pray. Folks, when you hear it, pray. You know, God has always asked, who's praying? Who's praying? I know a lot of people are talking about it, but who's praying? Who's interceding for Elizabeth? Who's interceding for Mary? Who's interceding for Joy? Who's interceding for Harry and Frank? And folks, we got to be, don't let anybody face the battles alone. Always be ready to pray and intercede for them regardless of the circle. I'm open for questions in just a bit. Regardless, in fact, we're going to finish a little early. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how you're feeling about them, and that's our issue sometimes, how you feel about them. Oh, they deserved it. I told them not to do it, and they did it anyways. So they're just getting what they deserve. You know what we say, how we talk. Folks, we need to be interceding because that's what Jesus did. Jesus intercedes for us over and over again. Moses was upset with his people that they had sinned against God, but he still interceded for them. We should have the same attitude toward our fellow man, that we intercede for them. Jesus interceded for us as we nailed him to a cross and continues to intercede for us. Oh, man, as I said, he intercedes for us. Folks, again, we got to get that mindset. We're interceding. We need to be interceding for our nation. We need to be interceding for our leadership. I don't care if you didn't vote for the person. Intercede on behalf of the nation. Intercede on behalf of our governor. Intercede that the Holy Spirit will come in and move and change. You know, folks, I'm not looking for a vote. I'm not looking for a vote to even change anything. I'm looking for people to change. The Holy Ghost changes people. Yes, yes. Jesus saves people.
Yes. Amen.
So we should be praying for everybody and interceding as Moses did. They were sinning, but Moses still put himself between them and God. We were sinners. We were nailing Jesus to a cross, and he still put himself between us and the Father. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 reads, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, this is Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and this is the New Living Translation. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Do you hear what I'm saying? What he's saying, he gave up his divine privileges, took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. And remember, he didn't come as a Roman. He came as a Jew, an oppressed people. That's how he showed up, born in a manger. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. See, this is the person. He was interceding for us even in his coming to earth. That was the biggest intercession of all, wasn't it? He showed up for us. He interceded for us. He came down. When he was born, he was interceding, folks. I need to go down and stand between them and my Father because my Father is holy. And if they don't have a covering, oh, they will perish. They will perish. So his whole life, the whole reason for him coming, oh, was to intercede. And we must have that same attitude that he had, that we stand in the middle and we intercede for people. We supplicate for them. And finally, this last section, as we look again at the four types of prayers, the ACTS, the acronym, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. we should assess our prayer life to see if we have a balance of all four. You know, I'm glad we're looking at this because sometimes we're so into, you know, the requesting, do this. I told you about that story about the two angels that came, that were sent from God, and the angel with the Thanksgiving basket was sent with a big basket. You know, God's like, they're going to praise me, they're going to thank me for all I've done. And then the angel with the request basket was sent with a smaller basket, and the angel with the request basket kept coming back and forth to heaven, dumping and coming back and forth, and the angel that had the Thanksgiving basket barely had the bottom filled. Oh man, let it not be so. Let it not be so, folks, with you personally. How often do you just thank him and adore him? Oh, do we just adore him? I'm not asking for anything, Jesus. I'm just adoring. I'm open for questions in just a second. So it's important for us to learn and consider the different aspects of prayer beyond the requesting to the other deeper aspects of engaging with God. Because prayer is engaging with God. Let's get into the deeper aspects of engaging with God. Okay. Rose, and then I'm going to get Christina.
Yeah, I remember what last time I was here about, that we don't know how to pray. So when you forget how to pray, and I gave everybody the P-R-A-Y, and how you start praying to praise him first, then the R is to repent, and A is to, when you ask something to the Lord by, you know, humble yourself to him and yield towards God. This is what how I pray sometimes, you know, because we pray every day the same thing sometimes. So sometimes I just praise him, you know, but always praise him first, and then do your repenting of all the sins that you do. And you do sins every day. Yes. Doesn't matter what it is, even our thoughts, you know, when we worry so much, you know, those are sins because we're not trusting God when we do that. So I'm just saying, if you do that, just pray, P-R-A-Y, and do that. And man, I tell you, it just explode what you want to.
Amen. I love that yielding part, because sometimes we don't go there. We just come and tell God our agenda.
Yeah, you don't want
to. And then we don't yield to hear what he's got to say back to us.
That's what I'm saying, because he already know what we need. And I like to just thank him all the time and praise him on who he is. And I think that's how we should pray.
Amen. Thank you. Christine.
I just have a prayer request.
Sure.
I'm going through battles.
It's okay. She's going through battles. It's all right, Christina. And you know what? You don't even have to tell us what it is. We'll agree that God's going to help you, okay? Okay? Come on, guys. Let's pray for her right now. Those of you that can... get up. We're going to pray for Christina right now and pray that God is going to move in this battle that she's going through, Lord. Father, we just thank you because you have said you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, Lord God. And we know that's true for Christina, Lord God. Let her know that that she is never alone, that you've always got her, Lord. But Lord, I pray you be her rear guard and that you go before her. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against the attack on her life in the name of Jesus, the attack, Lord, on her soul, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill her, oh Lord, as with your Holy Spirit, and her mind, her will, and emotions would be focused on you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would increase in her life and she would decrease, Lord. Even as we talked about yielding, Lord, I pray there be a great yielding in her life, even as the battle rages. Lord, I pray, Lord, that she would know that you are with her and that she would submit and she would yield it over to you in the name of Jesus. Let her know, Lord, that you'll never leave her. We agree, Lord God, for the victory. We agree for the victory, Lord God, and we expect to hear her testimony, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we're going to be looking at her, expecting to hear the testimony that you, oh God, has gotten the victory for her. Let her know that she's loved, Lord God, that you love her. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We agree. There's power, Christina. There's power in the prayer of agreement. You know, Jesus taught us where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Amen. So you believe that. I'm glad you know your word. I'm glad you know your word, because that means as we have come together and pray with you, he's right here with us. He's right here with us, agreeing with his word that we have prayed over you. So you keep agreeing with it too. And that means you keep letting his words come out of your mouth. The enemy may try to tell you something else, but you keep speaking his words.
May I tell you what's happening quick?
If you'd like to. You don't have to, but if you'd like to.
A lot of people keep saying, I have the gift, I can see spirits, and I can see everything. And everyone says tarot cards are okay, witchcraft is okay. And then all of a sudden, stop going to this church a little bit. That's why you haven't seen me a lot, because I was going through battles. And a couple group of people, because I go to recovery, a couple group of people invite me to smoke marijuana. And I mean, I was being stupid. I wanted some friends, so I smoked it, and I said, I'm not going to smoke it again. And then ran out, they never asked me again. So that's what I was having problems with.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any friends that much in the assisted living facility, so I wanted friends.
Yeah.
And I tried to call the recovery pastor and to ask him to pray for me, because I just don't know what to do. And so that's all.
You keep doing what you're doing. You know, recovery is a journey, but it's a journey that Jesus is on with you. Okay? So it's a journey day by day. You keep making the decision to do it God's way. Okay? It's a journey. Mm-hmm. So you keep working, and you have people around you that care about you, that will pray with you. You know, so I'm glad you're in that Celebrate Recovery group. And keep going, Christina. Lift your head. The scripture says, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the one who lifts my head. Only God can lift the head of your soul and lift the head of your spirit, and he'll do that. But you keep on the journey, okay?
Just apologize for my behavior.
Oh, absolutely. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. Anybody else with any comments? We're finishing up a little early today. And next week we'll be starting our next
session. The suffocation, I think, is the hardest.
Yeah.
Because all we want is want. We don't want to have to yield.
Yeah.
You know, and it's when we're yielding is when we actually see God for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he says, I change not. Mm-hmm. You have to change. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, and that was the hardest for me, to have to give up that independence. Mm-hmm. Or selfish, self-centeredness. I had to, you know, well, I had nothing left. So, you know, you're talking about you had nothing left.
Yeah.
I had nothing left physically. I had, you know, physical, material things, but me, it was gone. And he just came in and moved it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what Moses said. But God, if you destroy them, you don't have no one else. And that's what if you kill me, you don't have no one else, you know. So.
Or kill me along with them.
Kill me along with them. You know, take me out of my mother will really praise you. That's what Moses is saying.
Who's going to praise you if you killed your people?
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, and he always sends somebody to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Moses, even though he was there by himself, the Holy Spirit was with him, and he wasn't alone. You don't know how many of those people that were praying for him, you know, that they had repented and were sorry.
It was 3,000 people that killed.
That killed, I believe the Bible records 3,000.
Was that the one that, with the snake? Was that the one that was that? They all died at once.
They killed each other, really, pretty much.
Yeah.
Moses commanded the people, the men that were with him, to kill the ones that would not repent. He said, "All that are with the Lord, come on my side, and those that are with that will not repent." And there were like 3,000 people that wouldn't come.
So that's when it was delayed for 40 years. Then. That's why they had to be punished.
Is that when they got swallowed up?
That's when they had the Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Moses was up on a
mountain,
and when he came down, they had that calf golden calf.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you're sinning against God. And he threw the Ten Commandments, remember?
He broke the tablets.
He broke the tablets.
Yeah, because I, you know, sometimes in my head, I see Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. Yeah. And I have to go, I had to go to Exodus to read it and actually see what happened and what actually happened.
I like the one The Ten Commandments with Charles Heston.
Yeah, with,
when they, then
that's
God
the one,
up,
that's the one I'm talking about.
When he opened up the...
But what actually happened, what actually happened is that he broke the tablets.
Yeah, he did.
And then Moses said, all that are on the Lord's side, come over here.
Yeah, okay,
and so some came over here, but there were 3,000 that didn't.
Yeah.
And Moses commanded the men on his side to go and kill them.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
That's
exactly what happened. So I know Cecil B. DeMille showed that the ground opened up, but actually Moses sent them to kill, you know, to kill the people. So... yeah.
So is that when, instead of Ben, it was going to the land of Canaan, they had to wait 40 years because all those others had to die off? Is that the same one? Is that the same one?
Yeah. Well, I believe that Scripture just says that all that had sinned, you know, died off.
Yeah.
So they were in the wilderness for 40 years.
Okay, that's
you know?
the same situation.
Yeah.
It's only supposed to be only a week.
Yeah.
Took them 40 years.
So that kind of tells you that even though they came over to Moses' side, they still had been those that had sinned.
Right.
You know, so they wandered
in
the wilderness.
And they are the ones that had to die first because they were
the young generation actually went to the land of
they didn't see the promise.
Yeah.
So just really interesting, you know. And as you read, boy, the Old Testament is so full of of analogies, if you will, of what we're living today and what we're going through. As you look at this nation and what this nation is going through, and all of the things, and you see so much comparison. That's why, you know, when I read those Jonathan Cahn books, The Harbinger, and how he looks at the comparison.
Yeah.
Of what happened back then and what's happening today, you know, and you see it.
Did they have the hate back then like they do now?
The what?
Oh, yeah.
Did they have the hate like they do back then like they do
now?
Oh,
I think from the beginning of mankind.
Racist.
Yeah, I think from the beginning of mankind that was going on.
The hate.